Jesus has a table spread.
Hello, friends. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn, and I welcome you to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. I trust our broadcast will be a real blessing. And now let's come and dine around the Word of God together.
Hope is sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the Master calls. Come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time.
And I welcome you to our Thursday, January the 15th radio broadcast. What a great joy it is to be with you as we get halfway in the month, right? Well, that's hard to believe, ain't it? But anyway, I hope you're trusting the Lord today. And my friend, I hope you're saved. If you're not saved, the Bible said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And today's the day that you need to come to the Lord and be saved. Amen. I appreciate my wife, Christy, for helping me with the technical ends of these broadcasts and getting them uploaded on our website. These broadcasts are available on our website, gbiradio.org. Our 30-minute broadcast is also available. And our 5-minute broadcast on A Call for Revival is also available. I hope that you will pray for us during these days. Put us on your prayer list. And you pastors, remember to keep us in mind about your missions budget. If you just put us in your missions budget, if we had 1,000 preachers across America do that, you'd be amazed what we could do, what we could take on for the glory of God, and how we could expand, not for our ego. Friend, it ain't about me. Listen, heaven's not about me. Did you know that? It's about Jesus Christ and getting His Word out and doing what we can for Him. The hour is late. And the need is great. And God said for us to pray, and I put this on my prayer list. I pray for it every day of my life, that God would send laborers into the field. And we need some preachers. We need some men to be called to preach. You know, you're not called to preach just because you go to Bible college. You know that, right? Somebody said, I'm going to Bible college to be a preacher. No, 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 no. You go to Bible college because you are a preacher. Amen. You don't go to Bible college to become a preacher. No, sir. Bible college will not produce a preacher. I want you to understand that. Amen. It might produce a better preacher, but it won't produce a preacher. You must be called of God. I'm glad God called me and God put me in the radio ministry. I'd like to see God call some more men into radio. I'd like to see that. Amen. I'd like to see men get interested again. I know this young generation, they think podcast and social media is, you know, that's doing it. And they're getting all these hits and things. But I want to tell you something. And we use that stuff. I'm not against it. But I want to tell you, radio still works. There's an audience for it. It's not just old folk. It's young folk, middle-aged folk. I've got a lot of people listening. I have kids listening to me. Amen, on the radio. And I appreciate it. I thank God for it. When I was 17, radio influenced me to do something for God. I had a 100,000-watt station in our area, and it influenced me to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I praise the Lord that it did. Check our website out, gbiradio.org, if you would. And then pray for us. Remember to stay in your Bible. Read it through this year now and stay in that prayer list. Father, on this Thursday, help this message as it goes out, Lord. Use it for your glory. In Jesus' wonderful name I pray. Amen. Now the message of the Word of the Lord. All right, so this radio equipment can set on this counter. I got my arm resting on this counter. I have no doubt that that counter is going to hold my arm up. I've got no question about it. I don't even sit here and doubt that because this counter is stronger than my arm. Well, let me tell you something. When I go to God, it ain't just go to God. Now I lay me down to sleep and park my scooter in the street, and if I should die before I wake, will you send Abraham mash the brake? God ain't going to answer nothing like that. But you got to go to God believing God's going to hear your prayer. Now, God may not answer it the way you want it done. By the way, God don't have to. He's sovereign. He can do anything He wants to. God will either do it where He'll answer your prayer request or change your request. I've had God change my request a few times, right? God will answer that prayer. Amen. According to how you, but I want to ask God, do you have any faith when you go in there? The Bible said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. When you pray for the president of this country, do you have any faith that God's going to answer your prayer? When you pray for the sin in this country, do you have any faith that God's going to answer? I hear people all the time, well, preacher, we can't have revival. I understand we're not going to have a world revival. I understand that. And we're probably not even going to have a national revival, but we could. But you can have a local revival if people get to tune with God. We got to believe God can do something again. We're living day and hour. Most of our preachers are so discouraged, they're just holding the fort. Well, preacher, all my people have fell off and all my people have went away. I'm going to ask you a question. Number one, are you praying? Are you fasting? Number two, are you feeding them anything when you get up to preach? Listen, don't get up in your pulpit every Sunday and go and say, well, this is the way it used to be. And praise God, 45 years ago, we used to do it like now. We all do that some. But let me tell you something, it's not good to keep inquiring after the former days. Listen, 50 years ago is gone. My mama got saved in 1975. The jails were emptier. The streets were safer. People were more moral. You could leave your doors unlocked. Churches had the power of God in them. People believed in shouting and singing and praising God. People looked right, dressed right, went to church, respected the Lord's day. Hey, those days about gone now. Now we're in a new day now. We're in a contemporary day. We're in a dangerous hour. What do we do in this dangerous hour? Do we fold the tent? I ain't going to fold my tent. Well, I'm reaching out. I'm trying to take on new stations. I'm trying to get new people involved in our ministry. Brother, I refuse to sit and hold the fort. Amen. And that's like the fellow was when Jesus handed the talents out in the Bible. Remember that? And that fellow took that talent and he said, I knew thou were an austere man, thou reapest where thou did not sow. And he took that little talent and he hid it in a napkin. And when the Lord came, he brought it back and presented it to him. And listen, what are you going to do? Present God and say, I'm holding the fort for you, Lord. I'm not holding no fort for God. Amen. As far as, and now wait a minute, let me back up. I do believe in holding the fort in the sense of defending the faith. I do believe in that. Amen. I'm going to defend this Bible. I'm going to defend the work of God, the local church. Yes, I'm going to stand for all that. And yes, I'm going to preach for it. But what I'm saying is, I'm not going to sit in my corner and just say, well, you know, we got what we got. No, sir, no, sir, no, sir. We're still living in an hour when God can do something. You said, preacher, don't you realize the days we're living? Why don't you quit focusing on the days we're living in and focus on the work of God? I want to tell you something, and I'm going to make some of you mad right here, but if some of you would look for Jesus Christ more than you're looking for the Antichrist, we'd have revival. Some of you, all you study is how things are lining up for the Antichrist, how things line up for the Antichrist. Listen, the church ain't going to be here when the Antichrist comes. I believe we ought to study Revelation. I believe we ought to see what it says. And I've got a good pastor, and he's schooled in prophecy, and he's a good man. But I want to say, all that's good. I'm not knocking that. But, brother, I've got work to do. I can't sit around and worry about who the Antichrist is and when he's going to come and all this kind of stuff. I've got work to do. I've got people to try to get saved. I've got, amen, there's things needs to be done. I got to stir some of these preachers up and get them starting churches. Amen. I got to stir some of these men up to love their wives. These wives submit to their husbands. These homes stay together. I've got to encourage these young people, these kids that listen to me on the radio. I've got to encourage them. Listen, what are we doing to our kids in the church? We're putting a basketball in their hands and say, play ball. And then if they do get any preaching, it's, well, 40 years ago, it used to be, listen, what we ought to be doing is saying, hey, we can still do something this day. Junior, 18-year-old, you can still preach, son. Some of you young boys, won't you pray God call you to preach, amen? Some of you mamas, won't you pray, instead of your boy, instead of praying for him, he'll be the soccer star. Why don't you pray God call him? My mama never did pray God let me be a good ball player. Somebody said, well, I want my kid to play ball. Yeah, you're hoping he'll get up there in the major leagues where he can support you. When he gets up there, he's going to forget you. You ain't going to get any of the money, you know. And boy, I'm optimistic, ain't I? Hey, I love every one of you. How many of y'all believe I love you? Raise your right thumb. Amen. You believe I love you? I love every one of you. Amen. God bless you. I love you all. But I want to tell you today we need prayer. Old Daniel was a man of faith in his place. You say, preacher, I've got children lost. Do you pray for them? You say, preacher, I got a husband ain't saved. Do you pray for him? Well, my mama, she didn't know much. She got saved in 1975. She had some faith in God, and my daddy's name was Harold. Daddy's backslid, said God called him preach. He is running from it, drinking beer and living ungodly life. I don't know all about Daddy. He lived a strange life. I don't know. Somebody said, was he saved or lost? I believe he was saved, but he lived a strange life. But I had an uncle named Bob, and my mama said, and I'll never forget it, in 1975, my mama got saved. She started praying, oh God. And my mama understood something spiritual that many people don't get today. Did you know there's a key to everything? Pastors, did you know there is one key in your church usually to revival? There's one person. If you can get that person right with God, you'll have revival. There's a key in every church to revival. You ever thought about that? And the key, my mama said, the key to my daddy getting right was my Uncle Bob. Now, I don't know, they ran around together and drank together and all that stuff, and Bob was out in sin, and my mama began to pray, oh, Lord, if you'll save Bob Dow. She said, Lord, if you'll save Bob Dow, said, Harold, I'll get right. 1975, at New Year's Eve, in a Volkswagen between Rhonda and Roaring River, North Carolina, on Highway 268, old Robert Dow bowed his head, glory to God, and he got saved by the grace of God. Bob was never a preacher, but he's one of the greatest soul winners Rhonda, North Carolina, Wilkes County, North Carolina, ever knew. He won people to God. You know what? You know what? It wasn't long when old Bob got saved. And Bob got genuine, old-fashioned, born again. And when he got saved, my daddy got right. That was the key. Boy, you want revival in your church? You got somebody in there? Don't go to them. Fuss at them. Don't preach them out. Start praying for them, preacher. put them on a list and say, man, they're hindering the church. I got to pray for them. They're the key to this thing. And love them and get them right with God. And I tell you what, when you have that, God will help you. Amen. And let me tell you something. Amen. Now, Daniel was a man of faith in his place. Daniel was found in his place. Then I want to say this. Daniel was fruitful in his place. Oh, yes. You see, Daniel was fruitful. Daniel's prayers recorded in the Bible. How about that? I believe this. When you stay in that secret place of prayer, and it's tough staying in there. It's tough praying every day. Boy, the devil full ball game at you. The devil's, you got to go watch them kids play soccer now. You got to do this. I mean, by the way, there's nothing wrong watching the kids play soccer, but you ought to set you some prayer times and say, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. Amen. And you wives and husbands, what aren't you? You say, well, preacher, this ain't the way it's done today. No, I know it. And that's why we're in a mess. That's why we're losing most of our children, losing most of our church people. That's why churches are drying up. That's why missions, they can't get people to go to the mission field like they used to. Listen, we got to get back to prayer, folk. We've got to. It ain't a question whether they want to. We got to get back in that place again. Prayer. You know why people don't like prayer? Prayer's private. We've never raised a generation that's more public than today. They want the limelight. They want the publicity. Amen. I mean, listen, social media has brought that on. People think they can just get on there and just post anything about anybody. Listen, social media is not the place for you to air all your problems. I want you to know that. I got 914 friends. Have a flat tire at midnight and see which one of them come help you. You might get two out of that 914. Amen. Especially if in different states, they're not going to be able to help you. Listen, let me tell you something. The devil, I hate to say this, but the devil will use social media and it'll ruin America as much as television ever did. Now, wait a minute. We use it. We use social media. It can be used for good. I'm not mad about it. But I'm just simply telling you, it'll keep you out of your place of prayer if you ain't careful, friend. But I want to stay in that place. I want to be fruitful. And I've seen God answer prayers for me. I've seen God answer prayers in the secret place that would never, never, ever be answered if I hadn't been in the secret place and prayed about them. Boy, I've seen that. Amen. The fruit. Now, let me give you another thing here. I'm going to move on. Amen. Let's talk about the privacy of prayer. Look at verse number 6. Matthew 6:6, the privacy of prayer. And when thou hast shut thy door. Now we've entered into a closet. But now we're going to shut our door. Now we're going to go a step farther. Yeah, okay, we're in our place, but we're going to shut our door. What does that mean, preacher? You got to get between you and God. I've already covered this, but I'll cover it again. You can't pray that television on. You can't pray taking that phone in the secret place. I'm telling you, when you start to pray, the devil will, and I've just got where I try to block him out. He'll invent 500 things that need to be done. There is nothing more important. Listen to me. If the President of the United States today, if I got a certified letter and he summoned me to the White House, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, and said, Mr. Cawthon, I need to talk with you. You be here. I think that was pretty important, wouldn't you? When I sat down at the table of the desk with the President, let's say we sat in the Oval Office, do you think I'd have my phone out looking at the ball scores? Yeah, Mr. President, what are you saying? Well, the Red Sox won yesterday, didn't they? You think I'd be doing that? Do you think I'd be looking at recipes or videos? You know, I've got 4 cats. You think I'd be watching a cat video while I'm talking to the President? No. I'd turn my phone off. Might not even take it in there. Probably wouldn't even be allowed to have it in there. The President would have my full attention. Now listen, I'm going to go to God in my secret place. I ain't talking about the President. I'm talking about God that made the sky, the earth, the clouds, the sun, the grass, the rivers, the mountains. I'm talking about God. I'm talking about I've got an audience with Almighty. Well, friend, we come to the end of our Thursday, January 15th radio broadcast, and we've been preaching this week on prayer. Got one more message next week on that. I hope you'll stay tuned for it. I hope you'll get your prayer list. I mean that. And pray down that list. Amen. Every day. You're going to fail. You're going to miss a day, but just pick it up the next day and keep going. Amen. I want you to pray for us here at the Gospel Pulpit. Pray that God would use us this year. This might be the best year we've ever had. I thank God for last year as a good year, but I'm looking for God to do something this year. Lord willing, we'll join you with the Friday broadcast. God bless you is our prayer. Jesus. Well, friends, I want to thank you for listening to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. Address your cards and letters to the Gospel Pulpit, Post Office Box 797, Dobson, North Carolina, 27017. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthon. I hope you'll tune in again on the same station at the same time for another Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast when we come and dine around the Word of God together. All the time, he who
fed the multitudes, turned the water into wine to the hungry.